Great to see everybody this morning. If you've been here this summer, you know that Pastor Tim and I have been doing a summer series, and that series has been called Live to Give. How many already knew that? Okay, good. And those of you have come, but you haven't known that, I'm just giving you a bulletin today. We've been in a summer series called Live to Give. And in that series, we've learned various ways that we can show brotherly kindness and love to each other. Last week, Pastor taught us on how we can live a life fully surrendered to our Heavenly Father. Live to give a life fully committed, fully surrendered to the Lord. Now, if you've missed a service or two, or you're just new onto this summer series with us, and you have internet, I would invite you to go onto our website, and you can actually hear the sermons by going to sanamchapel.org and just clicking on sermons, and you can get all caught up on the summer series, Live to Give. You know, I was thinking of all the things that you do, the things that you bring, the things that you say, the youth work, the children's department, the cleaning, the parking lot, on and on and on, all the things that you do. And I could spend this time just thanking you, just honoring you, because you make it happen here at Sanam Chapel. Just bless you for blessing us, blessing each other. I applaud you today. I think you are the best, absolutely the best, and I have to hand it to you. We could not do this without you. You're making a difference. Thank you so much. Now, if you hadn't seen this PowerPoint or hadn't looked at the bulletin this morning, it may have been harder for you to figure out where I'm going with this theme today, with this sermon title today. If you hadn't seen this and you hadn't looked in your bulletin and I just said, live to give others a hand, where would your mind have gone? What would you have thought? Helping somebody out. Wonderful. If I just said, hey, live to give others a hand. A hand out, a hand up, a helping hand. And all those are good and all those are important and we ought to be doing that because we're all connected. But what I want to focus on and challenge you this morning to consider is cultivating a life that applauds people, that thanks people, that encourages people. Now, if you want to literally do that, you can. It might scare a few people in the grocery line. If you want to thank the clerk and all of a sudden you burst out in a thunderous applause, you might get a few looks. But let's be a people that applauds the lives of others. And in order to do that, we need to pray this morning and ask and seek God's help. So could we please bow? Lord, I know this word is for us. You are our best encourager, Holy Spirit. You have come to comfort us, to encourage us, and you do that oh so well. And I know that you've asked us to be a blessing, to be your hands extended, that there's people sitting around us, there's people out in your world that you love that need an encouraging word today, an encouraging, helpful hand, hug. They need hope. They need you. And we just ask that as we hear this, Lord, we wouldn't just hear with our natural ears, but we would hear what the Spirit is here to say to us this morning. And we would have open arms to receive and then go be doers of the word and not just hearers only. That is our prayer, Jesus. And we ask it in your name and for your glory. Amen. Thanks and encouragement. Two things. And if you have a pen and you need one, go ahead and grab one in the pew in front of you. You have a pad that's been provided for you to take notes this morning. I encourage you to jot down the scriptures that I'm going to have and just some things that the Lord speaks to you. We have his written word, his logos, but we have that rhema word, that word that is quickened to us. And we can all be listening to one sermon, but because the Holy Spirit knows us inside and out, he will quicken something. Okay, well, an aha moment. I needed to hear that. That's what I needed this morning to know and hear. And I encourage you to listen with those kind of ears and be ready to write down what the Lord may want to say this morning. Personally, this week, I've had occasion to be in some settings where I have literally been where there have been some thunderous applauses. So I wanted to tell you where I have been and what that was all about. First of all, I'm going to take you back to 1976. How many were even breathing? Okay, 1976. Well, that's when I began playing the organ and piano for weddings over 40 years ago. It was Tim's brother Dan's wedding and his wife Loretta. They had a beautiful wedding in Worthington, Minnesota. It was a beautiful Lutheran church. We were up in the balcony looking down at that gorgeous aisle, and I got to play for that service. It was glorious, to say the least. Such a privilege. Fast forward 40 years. Has it fast forwarded? Just saying. Fast forward 40 years. I have now played for over 375 weddings. Pretty cool. A few years later, in 1980, I began to minister at funerals. And there were several churches that I would be called to play at their church. I was also on staff at the funeral home in Albany, and they would call me to play at memorial services. And to date, I have played for over 400 memorial services. That's a lot of weddings, and that's a lot of funerals. I at one point thought of getting a business card that said, "Music to marry and bury by." Just get my card. See, it would just been so easy. Just two for one. Just whatever your needs are. Because that's what I did. Well, this week I attended two funerals and a wedding. And the reason I'm sharing all this trivia with you and all about my little week and what happened was because two things happened that when I had written this sermon earlier, I had thought about this, and then I lived them out this week, which was kind of cool to me. It was just like a punctuation point from the Lord. But at the wedding, Friday night, it was a beautiful outdoor wedding. I was at this young gal's birth. We go way back. Been like an auntie to her. It was a beautiful, beautiful wedding. And it's pretty common, if you've ever been to a wedding, that when they introduce Mr. and Mrs. for the first time, what do? Okay, we applaud. Okay, that's what we do. We're just so excited and we're just so happy for this couple. We share in their excitement about this new journey they're on. Friday night, this couple got two applauses. They got one when they smooched. Remember when they smooched? Stan and Elaine were there. They smooched, they got an applause, and then when they were introduced, they got an applause. How many of you have ever been to a wedding? You've seen that happen? Okay, that's pretty common. Now, how many of you have ever been to a funeral where they've applauded the deceased? Anybody? Okay. I've been to numerous funerals where they have applauded the life of the deceased. And this week, I was at my friend's dad's funeral. He's nearly 92 years of age. Dear friends, done life with them for decades. And this dad received a standing ovation by all of those that attended for the love of his life, to show appreciation and to honor a life well lived. I liked it. An applause to celebrate, to encourage, to thank. Isaiah 35:3, if you could write that down if you're taking notes today. The Lord has asked us to be his hands extended towards others, to thank them, to encourage them. It simply says in Isaiah 35:3, encourage the exhausted and strengthen the feeble. Be an encourager. Do you know a single parent? Maybe juggling work, maybe juggling school, have some kiddos to support. You see them at the grocery store trying to balance it all. You can see that they're weary, worn out, exasperated. It's the end of our work day, but it's the beginning of their day. They're going to go home and do laundry, tuck people in, fix lunches, and on it goes. You know, I think it would be a smart thing for us, a good thing for us, to be watchful, encourage those, give them a pat, thank them for not giving up. Yes, Some of you have been there or are there, and that word goes so far to encourage. How many have been watching the Olympics? Okay. How many are track stars amongst us? Any? Did track in high school, college? I didn't know that about you, Brother Bob. Woo woo! You go. Okay, anybody else? Anybody? Okay, cool, good, 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 awesome. Okay, so you track stars, you may relate to this, but I want the rest of us just to imagine that we are seeing this coach that is positioned at the finish line. The coach sees the racer, the runner, coming and knows very well how weary, how worn out, how tired they are, how exhausted they can be seen lagging behind. And that coach sees, and all of a sudden, that coach starts to applaud, starts to cheer, starts to encourage. Come on, you can do it. Come on, come on, give it all you've got. Keep on keeping on. Keep on running. Keep focused. Come on, come on, come on. Can you not just see that coach cheering them on? Maybe a family member, maybe a team member cheering them on. You can do it. You can make it. Come on. And just that is all it takes. The head is held high. There's a new shift that comes. And all of a sudden, that runner goes beyond what they even knew they could do because somebody was cheering them on. Can you picture that? Can you see it? That's what Holy Spirit does for us today. When you say, I'm overwhelmed, he introduces a song to us that says, be sure you finish the sentence, you're overwhelmed by God. Satan has come to kill, to steal, and to destroy, but Jesus has come to give us life. To the full, abundant, overflowing. I'm overwhelmed by God. Let's decide to get overwhelmed by his mercy, his grace, and be encouraged by him and be an encourager. That runner hears the coach, sees the clapping, hears it, hears the cheering, and they don't give up. It works. That energy is renewed. That stamina comes up to a new level. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11. The Lord instructs us, therefore, encourage and comfort one another and build up one another, just as you are doing. Verses 14 and 15 go on to say, and we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened, help the weak, and be patient with everyone. It goes on to say, make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. So we've talked about being overwhelmed. Ever felt like quitting? Ever been downhearted or weary to the bone? Just saying. Anybody? Am I preaching to the right crowd? Okay, I'm preaching to the right crowd. I'm saying. Have you ever? In the last hour? No, just kidding. On the way to church, getting ready this morning. Okay. Yes, yes, and yes. But have you also ever been at that point and somebody sends you a little text? I'm praying for you. I care about you, where you at, I'm concerned. Maybe you've gotten a phone call. Maybe that old-fashioned snail mail came and it was a card just when you needed it. Anybody? Anybody? Who sends those? Who prompts the sending of a card, a text, a message, a call? The Lord, he loves us and he uses us, to touch each other. I'll tell you what, there's been days, you've heard me say it, I'll say, somebody has been praying for me today. I can literally feel I'm being carried by the prayers of the saints. Anybody? And then I'll look and I'll see something someone's written. I don't know what you're going through today, Cheryl, but God laid you on my heart. I've been praying for you. Wow. Wow. That just floors me. God cares for you and he prompts people. I get promptings in the middle of the night. Anybody get promptings in the middle of the night? I have a little sign and it says, if you can't sleep, don't count sheep, talk to the shepherd. So when I can't sleep and I get those promptings for you, I talk to the shepherd about and for you that you'll have courage and strength and that you'll overcome and then you'll get back in the race and you won't give up and you won't give up. You keep on keeping on. I give you an attaboy and you go, girl. Okay? That goes so far when you are so low. Now maybe you've been on the receiving end. But I'll bet you, because I know you. I know you. You've been on the giving end too. I've gotten your cards. I've gotten your calls. I've gotten your texts. I've gotten your hugs. I've gotten your pats. Okay? You have been Jesus to me and to Pastor Tim. Thank you. Give yourselves a hand. Just saying, give yourselves a hand. You've listened to that still small voice and you've said, you can do it. Keep on going. Keep on running. I believe in you. Don't quit. The Lord will see you through. You've been an encourager and it's meant the world of difference. I want you to write this down, please. And those of you that aren't taking notes because you can memorize everything I say, you're just amazing. You are the sharpest knife in the drawer. You guys are just the cut above that can memorize everything. But for those of you that are writing it down so that you don't forget it and that you can live it out later, I want you to write down, promptings are for a reason. Okay? Promptings are for a reason. When you get that nudge, you're to say it. You're to do it. It's too often we second guess. Oh, I don't know. Should I say that? Should I do it? We talk ourselves out of it. Okay? If it's a good thing, it's a God thing. God is good and good things come from God. And he may prompt you to say something to a total stranger. Has anybody ever had that happen? Of course you have. Of course you have. Of course you have. That's a divine appointment. Promptings are for a reason, and I don't want to miss them. I don't want to miss being a blessing to somebody because it always comes back. What you give comes back. You're blessing others. It comes right back to you. Hebrews 3, verse 13. Hebrews 3, 13. Here's how often we're to do this. It says, but continually encourage one another every day, as long as it is called today. And there's an opportunity. So that none of you will be hardened into settled rebellion by the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is clever, it is glamorous, and it's sophisticated. And if we're not watching out for each other and encouraging one another, we can get sucked right into that. And a hardness of heart can happen. Watch out. Watch out. Encourage one another. Another way I would just challenge you to encourage one another is in the area of encouraging those that are making right choices. So for this, my example is, let's imagine that today you're going to grab some friends and you're going to go out to lunch. Anybody? Anybody want to go to lunch? Okay. You're going to go to goulash. No, chicken at your house. Goulash was over here. Okay. So you go out for lunch with your friends and you see that they order a salad instead of French fries. And you encourage them because they've made the healthy choice. Because we all know French fries do what? And they do what? Pastor, these people don't know what French fries do. We need to have a lesson on what French fries do. Okay? Cause they're not good. They clog the arteries. My doctor told me one time about 20 years ago, he said, Cheryl, French fries are so bad, He says, don't ever let them touch your lips. Do you know how hard it is to pop French fries in your mouth without letting them touch your lips? Okay, you can do it, but anyway, okay. So anyway, you see your friend is making a healthy choice. Well, don't tempt him with an ice cream sundae for dessert just to make you feel good. You just say, I want to encourage you. You are making a healthy choice. Every system in your body, all of our 7 or 8 systems, whatever there is excited right now because you made the healthy choice to feed the blood cells, everything. Something healthy. Encourage healthy choices. You know, I was thinking of our ladies' Bible study, which is made up of some of the most wonderful women on the planet to love and live with and encourage and do life with. And we have done this. We have celebrated with each other. When one of them has made a healthy lifestyle change, maybe stop smoking, whatever it may be, they will say, you know, this is my 2-year anniversary. This is my 5-year anniversary. Hey, I'm off of this med. I'm off of that med because I'm changing my lifestyle. What do you think us girls do? You bet we do. We encourage when people make right choices. And I think we need to catch people. You know, especially pre-Christians and people that are trying to turn things around and they have some older habits, but they're trying to make changes. Encourage them. Encourage them. Hey, you're doing good. Hey, I see what you're doing. And I want you to know that, you know, I've been there and you can do this. By God's grace, all things are possible. Applaud decisions that make them healthier, body, mind, soul, and spirit. Hebrews 10. 24 and 25 is one of my favorite scriptures. And my spurs, my clip-on spurs, yes, I have worn them before as I've preached, are in my office. And they wouldn't clip onto these little heels today. But pretend I've got them on because I'm spurring you today. Okay, I'm spurring you. The Word of God says, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day of the Lord's drawing near, his coming drawing near. As you see his return is just around the corner. It says encourage one another, spur one another on towards love and good deeds. And that's what I'm doing today. If you've ever been around a little toddler, maybe you've raised him, or a neighbor, a niece or nephew, and you've seen them at about, oh, maybe 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 months begin to try and walk, it's just precious, isn't it? Don't we just long for that day when they're going to walk and they get up and they first balance? Okay, picture that, the little balancing act. Ooh, how can those little feet hold all those little thunder thighs and all that chubby cheeks? How can those little feet do that? But they get the balance. They get the balance, and they're on the couch. And then pretty soon, that little step, okay, and then they're not depending on holding on anymore. And you put your hands out. Come on, come on, come on, come on. You can do it. Come on, come on. And they take that first little, and down they go. Well, what do? Come on, get up. You can do it. We cheer them on. We encourage them. Oh, baby, you just about got it. You about got it. So up they come. Up they come again. Get their little balance. And that one little foot. And then that next little foot. And pretty soon they've taken 2 or 3. The video camera's gotten out. And we call and we tell everybody, little Susie, little Johnny is walking for the first time. And we know after running or walking comes running, which we're not as excited about because then it's a whole nother level, whole nother world of things to get into. You can't keep up with them as fast. But don't we applaud that kind of growth? Yes, we do in the natural. That's a big deal. That's a huge deal. We don't want to see somebody never learn how to walk that's got healthy legs. And that's how it is spiritually. Encourage. Oh, you're making a right step. Now you're running. Oh my goodness, now you're hoppity, skippity, jumping, and now you're in track. You're running so good. Encourage. Get excited with them. Let them know. I believe in you. I'm proud of you. You can do this. How many, and I don't want to hear from any orange or yellow, that's a good thing. Orange or green, orange or black, yellow or green. Okay, there I am. No specific, but how many have a favorite team? A favorite team, ball game, ball, it bounces, it rolls, okay, I know, I'm seeing the hats, I said no orange and yellow, did I say no orange and yellow? I think I said no orange and yellow, okay, so you all have favorite teams, alright, just asking you, we won't even talk about the Civil War, let's just talk about something else, but let's just say your team, by a miracle of God, your team wins, okay? What do you do? Okay, spouses, what does your spouse do? Okay? Okay. All right, this man, would you not say he's meek and mild and all that? Okay? Okay. So one time when we were living in Lebanon, we have our TV in a little den area. And I heard noise coming out of this man that I've never heard. And I've been married to this man a long time. We were high school, junior high sweethearts. I mean, we're just together a long time. But I heard such excitement. And I was like, I came in, I'm like, is it you? What is going on? Well, the Vikings had made a touchdown. He was so excited for his team. I said, you have it in you. You do have it in you. You do have, you know, because he says, no, I'm even keel. I'm this. But I tell you, those Vikings, if they make it into the Super Bowl, this man's going to do a cartwheel, I'm sure, right in front of you. He's saying, what are the chances? Not so good. Okay. But I'm just, we get excited. Whether it's the final basket that wins the game or the touchdown, whatever it is, we get excited and we applaud like idiots sometimes because we're so excited. Yes? All right. You've attended concerts, performances, recitals. You've listened to speeches. You've attended those sporting events. You've been to award ceremonies. You've been to retirement parties and even weddings and funerals. And you've heard and been part of applauses. Sociobiologist Desmond Morris says that when we applaud a performer, we are, in effect, patting him on the back from a distance. We are saying that was totally awesome. Wow. Good job. We applaud veterans. We thank them for their years of service. We applaud a gifted athlete or musician. We thank them for their years of practice and dedication that we're now being blessed by. So I ask you, with all this being said, could we possibly begin to cultivate and strive to be people who thank often for even little things? You know, our little grandson who's 4, just turned 4, obviously we've trained and taught with his dad, to say please and thank you. What's the magic word? Please and thank you. And I saw him doing a favor yesterday for his dad, and I think it was filling the water, a cup for him, because we're at our new home now, and we have ice in the door and water in the door. That's a big deal. Woo-woo. Never had that before. And so he wanted to take that little cup for Daddy and get some ice and some water and then take it over to him. And he said, say thank you. Yeah, say thank you. Thank people. Often on a holiday, I'll be in the grocery store line and I'll thank that clerk, that attendant for working on the holiday. So what if they get paid time and a half or overtime? Don't you think they'd just as soon have a holiday too? You know, thank them. Thank them. You don't have to applaud them like this, but thank them. What about our postal clerks who put up with cranky people? Did you know that there's cranky people? I've told you this before when I was at our postal office here in town. I got a penny change back, and the attendant said, here's a shiny penny for you. I saved the old ugly ones for the cranky people. And I said, there's cranky people? oh, are there ever, the holidays bring out the worst in people and they blame them for things that don't go right and they're just doing their job. So maybe thank them next time that they put up with cranky people and don't be one of them. Okay? Just saying. There's many people that support us, that encourage us. Thank them. Thank them. Thank them for being there. Thank them for a listening ear. Thank them for never losing hope on you, never giving up. I think if you are honest this morning with me, you could think of somebody that maybe you need to write a thank you to or offer a call of thanks to or a handout of thanks. A teacher, a coach, a neighbor, a friend, a family member. Who do you need to thank today? It'll go a long way. And it's a good thing to cultivate a heart of thankfulness. Do you know if we're found complaining or grumbling? I've heard it said it's because we're not thankful. You know, the hot water tank breaks and we complain. Some people don't even have water. But our conveniences, you know, the air conditioning to go out, we could complain. And there's people that'll walk 2 hours today in 90 degree weather with 100% humidity just to sit out in the forests of Ecuador, the Amazon, in the open air, just to worship. And we're complaining because it's now 75 and not 72. We've stopped being thankful. Yes? Are you hearing me? Cultivate things. Cultivate it in your heart. If you've ever wondered what God's will for your life is, write down 1 Thessalonians 5:18. 1 Thessalonians had a lot of nuggets this morning. 1 Thessalonians 5. You may want to go there and just park. Say, Lord, teach me, teach me, teach me from your awesome word. My life is changed by your word. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It's God's will for us in Christ Jesus to give thanks in everything. If you turn that around and work it backwards, that's God's will for your life. In everything, at all times. Thank him. When you're overwhelmed, be overwhelmed by God. Thank him that he has not given up on you. I read when I was studying applause that even little babies, before they're even taught, they instinctively clap their little hands with glee and excitement. It's built into us. It's an expression. The bottom line is, show your thanks and appreciation. Say it. Write it down. Show and tell. Show and tell. School's starting up pretty soon. Remember when we would show and tell? Well, I say show and tell your thanks. Encourage the faint-hearted. Encourage right choices, right decisions. And promptings are for... You've already forgot. Okay. Promptings are for... a reason, to be a blessing. When we just recently returned from our family reunion in Minnesota, we were at the airport. It's been a wonderful week together at the lake. Wonderful time with our family. But it's always hard. I think I probably start getting kind of downhearted maybe 2 days before we leave, knowing I'm going to have to say goodbye to everybody. My daughter and my grandkids and my son-in-law and my wonderful in-laws and just an amazing bunch of nieces and nephews. It's just kind of, do you know what I mean? When you have to part, you guys know, it's hard to say those goodbyes. And just some other things going on. And I was down. I was down. I'm going to tell you, I was down. And we were at the airport and doing our check-in and going through security and whatnot. And my head was down. I was feeling it. I was wearing it. And there was an attendant there helping me. Don't know her name. Probably never see her again on this planet, on this earth. But she said a word to me. And I told Pastor what that was. That word that she said to me probably lasted me 2 days. Just an encouraging word. Something personal. Something that did this. And I said, Jesus, I know that came from you. I know you prompted a total stranger to say those specific words to my downcast heart. And they lasted me. They carried me home and into the next couple days. It had a lingering effect. Don't you want to do that? Don't you want to be that person? I do. I want to not miss the promptings of God that says, say it, do it. Applaud them. Encourage them today. Thank them. Be me to somebody today. Anybody? I knew this section was with me. How about this section? Anybody? Okay. This section, anybody? Pastor, good job. Work on your section. They're thinking about the chicken and the goulash. Guys, you're going to make it. You only got a few more minutes. You're going to make it to lunch. This section, I know you girls are with me. I know you are with me. I'm telling you, girls and guys, we're to be his hands extended, reaching out to the oppressed. That's one of my favorite little songs, little choruses. It says, make me a blessing. Out of my life, may Jesus shine. Out on the highways and the byways of life, there's people that are downhearted, downcast, overwhelmed, and they need you to encourage them today. You've been blessed to be a blessing. Out of my life, may Jesus shine. Could we please bow in prayer? Lord, I just ask right now that you would help us to know when, where, and how we might best be doers of this, your word today. That we would applaud others' lives, their efforts. That we would encourage them as a coach does, as you do. That we would see that one that is downhearted or downcast, and we will not judge them. We do not know the thoughts that they have. We do not know the journey that's gotten them so weighed down. We don't know the phone call they just got. But Lord, let us see past the obvious and into the supernatural and be your hands and your heart extended to live to give others a hand. Lord, I ask that we would make ourselves available. First of all, we have to say, okay, I want to hear your promptings. I want to be an encourager. I want to applaud people's lives. So make me willing. Help my ears to hear. Help my heart to know when. Help me to trust you with my circle of life to know who needs to hear from you today. Let's stand together, please, as we close. Lord, you are our everything. We are overwhelmed by you. That you would draw us into this place on this day for such a time as this to hear from you. You have blessed us to be a blessing. And I'm so thankful, Lord, that what we give will come back. Cultivate that in our hearts this day, I pray.